Hey guys, today on Sports Spectrum, Ben Hartsock is our guest, returning to Sports Spectrum, former NFL tight end. He played 10 years in the NFL with the Colts under Tony Dungy, caught passes from Peyton Manning. He was with the Titans, the Falcons, the Jets, where he played in two AFC championship games, and the Panthers, and a really small stint with the New England Patriots, which of course I had to ask him about, playing with Tom Brady, playing for Bill Belichick. Ben is also a national champion from his years in college at the Ohio State University in 2002 when they won a national title. And Ben now is currently working with Sirius XM as a radio commentator for college sports on Channel 84 and the Big Ten Radio Channel 372 on Sirius XM. So you can listen to Ben call and talk about and commentate on college football. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about college football. We're going to talk about the Lord Jesus. We're going to talk about a little bit of his experiences in the NFL. Like I mentioned, that Patriots four-day stint that he had. Lots to talk about here with Ben Hartsock, our friend from Sirius XM. It's coming up in a moment. First, want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. I hope you've gotten your copy because it's amazing right now with our football preview. It's the perfect time to get in on Sports Spectrum's magazine. Kirk Cousins is on the cover from the Minnesota Vikings. We got features on Brock Purdy in this magazine, features on Benjamin Watson, features on our friend Christina Hobestat from the NFL. There is amazing features in this story that your kids are going to love, that your friends are going to love, that you're going to love. If you love sports and you love Jesus, if you love football and you love Jesus, this is the magazine to get, the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can order at sportsspectrum.com right now. Just click that magazine icon at the top and subscribe to Sports Spectrum magazine. When you do, we want to give you an exclusive deal, 15% off for podcast listeners only. When you go to the magazine website, click the magazine icon, subscribe to a one-year subscription to Sports Spectrum's magazine, and put in the code podcast15, podcast15, and save 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You got to get your copy right now. If your kids love sports and you want to get them something that's clean, that's faith-filled, that's family-filled, that's featuring some big names like Brock Purdy and Kirk Cousins, consider subscribing to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can do that at sportsspectrum.com. Ben Hartsock, welcome to Sports Spectrum. But what kind of welcome back to Sports Spectrum? I think the only time you were on previously, you talked to Brock Heward, though, who was filling in for me. So this is the first time you and I get to have a conversation on Sports Spectrum, buddy. Good to see you.
Well, you know, Brock Heward's kind of a JV kind of a guy, a little bit of a second team kind of player. And I understand that that would be where I would kind of, you know, you work with the freshman squad and eventually you get worked up to varsity. So wow. I'm glad that I made it through the first cuts up to the varsity with you, Jason.
I should play this for him right now. Like, just stop and let's go play this for Brock and let him respond to that. No, man, it's so good to talk to you and good to see you. I'm glad that we were able to get you back on the show. I need to start with something, though. I was doing some research in high school, the Ben Hartsock in high school. You were a receiver, naturally, because you were a tight end. But did I read that you were a running back, linebacker, defensive end, and place kicker when you were in high school,
yeah.
Ben?
Yeah, you know, Uniota High School, where I went to school, it's you know, not the pipeline to college athletics that some other places are. I love my school, but I was you do a little bit of everything, yeah. And kicker was the one that I took a lot of pride in. I was a straight on toe blow smash, you know, not a soccer style. And I had one coach that he made it his mission to try to find me a square toed shoe, which there's like several barriers. One, square toed shoes are hard to find. Two, yeah. Size 14 square toed shoes, really hard to find. Three, left footed size 14 square toed shoe. He showed up one day with a size 12 right foot and like he thought he had solved the problem. And I was like, what are we doing here? So yeah, tons of incredible memories. I'm, you know, high school sports are kicking off this time of year. And so
yeah,
it's great, great memories.
Oh yeah. Now, was there ever a moment either at Ohio State or in the NFL, you played for a long time in the NFL as well, almost a decade or so where you were called upon, or maybe you even just went to the coach and said, I can, if you need a kicker, I did it straight ahead at kicking in high school. I can do this for you if you're ever in a bind. Did that ever happen?
No. I didn't, because I was, Jason, I was 50-50 on point after tries. How bad I was.
And that's high school. Yeah,
and that's high school, right? You get to tee it up and all that. So, no, I certainly never. I was emergency tackle a couple of times. I was emergency long snapper here or there, but certainly never kicker. Never.
Did you ever make a long field goal in high school, though? Or were you not really a high school field goal kicker? You were more extra points only.
Our coach allowed us one attempt, and I perfectly right down the middle laced a 30 yarder. But the problem was there was a penalty, and we had to replay the down again. Yeah. And my coach said, "There's no chance you can do that twice in a row." And so we ran a fake the next try.
Oh man! So you have a made field goal. It just doesn't go on the record. It's kind of like a sacrifice fly in baseball. It's like it doesn't go on the record books as an at bat.
Heartbreaker.
That's a tough one, Ben. All right, so we have to talk about this RV as well. And I don't know if the RV still exists or if you're doing it again this year. I don't think so, but I could be wrong on that. But this RV that you have, all you got to do is follow Ben Hartsock on Instagram, and you'll see the traveling adventures that started last year, if I'm not mistaken. But tell us about the RV.
I love RVs. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love them. I could live in them full time. You know, there's a million people across the United States that live full time in an RV. That was a bigger number than I thought.
I did not know that. Wow.
And it's growing. And with COVID a couple of years ago, when no one could travel, there was a giant run up of people that maybe wouldn't have tried that interest that went and did it.
Right.
And they thought that there would be a boom and then a bust of people selling them when they got bored. But no, it was just, it stayed. People have found this new interest that they had. And for me, another shout out to my hometown, Ross County. The county fair was always a giant camping scene. You know, the county fair was the fair, but people would stay on the campground. It became like the second biggest city in our county was the campgrounds that week. And I was always in it and around it. And so when I got out of playing ball, we got an RV and I just fell for it. Maybe it's the big guy in me that I'm tired of plane travel, crammed in tight quarters, that you drive an RV, it's like riding around driving a lazy boy, you know, room and space, and kids can be up and moving. So the past couple of years, as I've worked in broadcasting, I thought, I don't know, Jason, when you were with ESPN, I know that people always lean in when they say, oh, you work for ESPN. Right. And same thing with me, with what I do with Sirius or calling games for ESPN radio. They're like, oh, tell us about that. And that's kind of the genesis of my RV YouTube vlog is, I love sharing these incredible experiences as much as I can with as many people as I can. And so I go to Happy Valley a couple of years ago to do a Penn State game. And I just take my camera and it's just using my cell phone and capturing as many of those moments, and doing it through the lens of RV travel is just a personal pet project that I love it that much. I love YouTube. I love kind of that platform. I have several RV families that I follow that are living theirs full time. And so I was like, you know what? I'll carve out my own little pocket of this and do it through the perspective of sports. And like I said, went to Ohio State, Notre Dame last year and Kentucky versus Florida and Texas, Oklahoma. So I hope to do that some this year, but we were talking before the show, I've got high school age kids. And so that's, it's challenging to carve out that time. But what we are doing is I've got high school age kids that starting to look at maybe school. So we're doing the college tour scene. So maybe I'll make some more videos that way of sharing, a high school girl choosing, because she says, I played my college football at Ohio State, but I live here in Georgia in the Southeast. So she wants to go to a big SEC school. So we're going to go to a Bama game. We're going to go to a Georgia game. We're going to go to a Tennessee game. And so that'll be a ton of fun. And we'll be in the RV every time.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to, I think it's Auburn, Mississippi State at the end of October. So every year we try to go, me and my buddy Scott, try to go to one game to get an experience. So especially in the college world where there's so many experiences, like we've been to Ohio State, we've been to Wisconsin, and we've been to Clemson. Those have been the three. And I got to tell you, all three presented this amazing experience of game day and tailgating and fandom and leading up to the game. Just the, I don't know what you call them, I guess the traditions, I guess, that each of the three schools that we've gone to and so many more schools have. And Auburn was the one that we landed on this year, which is happening at the end of October. But there's something special about college campuses and college football experiences that you can't replicate in the NFL outside of maybe Lambeau. Would you agree with that, being a college guy now, that there's just something special about college football and the experiences that you can have when you go to these games, even just go to the city the day of a game? You might not even go to the game and you'll experience something.
Yeah, you're giving me goosebumps just describing it, Jason. That's why I have very much chosen the college game. That's my area that I've if I had to pick between NFL or college, it's college 10 times and twice on Sunday.
Right.
Because it's Americana. And it, like you say, my travels have helped me. The first time I went to Ole Miss and saw the Grove, the first time that I was at Neyland Stadium and watched him run through the tee and before the game, it was unbelievable. And what I love about college is that connection. That I grew up in Southern Ohio, where mom and dad, brother, sister, all were Ohio State graduates. And so we grew up like that was our tradition. That was our culture. And I will be passionate about that till the day I die.
Right.
But when you go to other places across the country, whether you're in Starkville or Phoenix, Arizona, there are people that are just as passionate about their school as we are as ours. And I think the difference between college and the NFL is, you know, college has so much history. You know, I joke about like Ohio State, Michigan, they've been playing those games for so long that people rode horses to them. There were hitching posts outside.
Yes.
And I just love that history aspect of it. When I went to Ole Miss and learned that the Ole Miss colors, their red and their blue, are taken from Harvard and Yale because they were trying to build the reputation of the academics at Oxford, which Oxford was chosen to try to attract a school to that town. Like, that history that happened pre-Civil War era is just such fascinating, and it's so woven into every family that has generations of parents that have parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles that went to that school or supported that school. And it's very, very different than the NFL, even as a guy that played in the NFL.
100%. And I got to tell you, one of my favorite things last year that I was watching you experience, I believe this was last year, I think it was going to the Big House in Michigan. Mm-hmm. For Ohio State, Michigan, and it didn't end well for your Buckeyes, but I still, you put this on your vlog, on your YouTube channel, I still thought it allowed you, I'm sure you were boiling inside, but it allowed you to really appreciate the experience, even though it didn't end well, of the access that you were able to bring to like the common man, like me, just watching this on YouTube. I'm like, that's an amazing experience, Ben, that you had. When you think back to that, is that something you were able to appreciate, even though you're a Buckeye and it didn't end so well?
A lot of my die-hard Buckeye fans and friends and family thought I was a little too okay with that outcome.
Yes.
I was disappointed, but I am able to separate myself that I've watched as Michigan has struggled for 20 years, all the way back. Like, one of my chapter in history at Ohio State, like, what I take pride in is we got that thing started because Michigan had been beating Ohio State during my era, before my era, and we started this run of taking care of that rivalry. And so to watch them slay their dragon, even though my team took the short end of that stick, it was incredible to watch their generation slay the dragon. Because the last time that I was on a field, I was there on the sideline, had a media pass, and when they rushed the field, I was caught up in that and just soaking all of that in. Well, the last time, Jason, I had been a part of a field rush, I was the junior at Ohio State, and we had just beaten Michigan,
right.
And it was the exact opposite experience. And so it was, again, I'm getting chill bumps just remembering that.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Such a unique experience that so few people have the blessing to be able to have. And I got to watching my team lose and watching them, you know, slay the dragon really made my own memory of my own experience that much sweeter.
By the way, I think this happened in the fourth quarter, but the snow started falling, right? Like, it was just, you could not have picked a perfect setting outside of your team not pulling off the victory, to just appreciating an amazing college football experience with two rivals playing a little bit in the snow and the elements, and that experience of the crowd rushing the field. I don't know.
And that day is always so special because that's the same day that the Iron Bowl is happening. That's when they're fighting for Paul Bunyan's axe and the Apple Cup, that this uniquely American institution of college football has all of these rivalries across the country that are just as, they were just as passionate as they are in Washington for the Apple Cup as they are in Columbus or Ann Arbor for the game.
Yeah. Now, we won't go deep, just so people know. We could spend an hour, and you do this pretty much every time you're on SiriusXM, about talking about the negative side or all the problems with college football or the future of the game and all the conference realignment and all these teams going to different places. I don't want to do that here. You can go watch ESPN or listen to Ben on SiriusXM to do that. I prefer to not go into that world because I still think there's something special and pure and fun about college football that's just different, like we just talked about. What also is special is your walk with Christ. And I think maybe a good pivot here, because that's what this show is about, is just to ask it in a general way. How's your walk with the Lord right now? How's he working in your life? What's he been showing you?
Well, he's ever present, and to be, if I'm being fully transparent, Jason, I was Amy, my wife and I, we went out last night and had a date, she and I was telling her, gosh, I was just feeling a little down. I was just there's so much struggle, like you mentioned. I spend a lot of time in my talk shows kind of lamenting over the death of our traditional college game as it goes towards professionalism, and that can wear me down. And I was feeling a little inferior about, well, gosh, Jason and Sports Spectrum, they had LaFonso Ellis and they've got Tom Crean, like the guys that you interview. Do I really belong? But man, I'll tell you, Pastor, this morning on, it's a Sunday when we're recording this, in 2 Timothy about Onesiphorus, that Paul was in jail in 2 Timothy and talking about how Onesiphorus came. And Onesiphorus isn't a in the hall of faith, and he wasn't a major leader or an apostle or a disciple or anything like that. He was just a guy that came to encourage and refresh Paul while he was in prison. And that was it's a pattern in my own life that I can kind of lament or frustrate that, you know what, I was just a role player when I played, or I'm just a low level sports broadcast personality. But that encouragement for me was so poignant this morning, that Onesiphorus is he wasn't necessarily a marquee player in Bible history, but he certainly was valuable to Christ and certainly valuable to Paul. And so that's where I'm thankful for that reminder this morning when I was feeling a little bit like, I don't know that I quite have the stuff to be on this awesome podcast. So my walk continues to be strong. I continue to be blessed far than I deserve.
No, that's really well said. I appreciate where your mind went, but I mean, this show is just to feature people who love Jesus and are connected to the sports world. I don't care if you're, John Harbaugh or Tom Crean or, LaFonso Ellis or whatever, or whoever. We've had coaches that you've never heard of and high school kids and places like that. But I just think every story is unique. Every story matters. Even as we record this on a Sunday, I just shared a message at my church this morning about identity and how easy it is to get caught up in approval of others or valued, or even our past and the things that we've messed up in or the jobs that we do. But every single person, if you have claimed to be a follower of Jesus, like, your identity is found in him, and he says, no, you matter to me, which is hard to buy into in a culture where so many people are saying, you know what, Ben, you're not this, you're not that. I don't know. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, absolutely. I think that especially you hear a lot about guys like me that once they get out of the game, there's that void and there's that struggle and trying to replace that gladiator mentality or the fame or the fortune that goes with it. And, I was grounded in my faith as I came out this a decade ago, but I almost came out of it like, football wasn't my identity. I'm grounded in my faith. I'm grounded in Christ. And so I'm going to be good. And I was humbled very quickly because it was a very tectonic shift in a work identity. We have all kinds of identities. We have all these overlapping circles of being on a football team, or your family is a team, or your church family is a team. And when you change any one of those overlaps, it is a process of finding its new level. And especially for guys that are high competitors that make it to the NFL, like I was able to do, there's that expectation that whatever is the next chapter, it needs to be world class. It needs to be, I need to be a CEO. I need to go to outer space. I need to solve whatever world mystery. Mm. And it goes back for me. God has revealed over the course of my process that it's very similar to Onciferous, that, you know what? You don't need to have any title. My old coach, Jim Tressel, talked to me about this just a couple of years ago, that just because you're not in a position of fame doesn't mean you are any less impactful. Ugh. And man, that was so freeing for me, because ultimately, my team now is my worker, my coworkers, and my co-hosts at SiriusXM. And I love that impact of just simply existing with one another, working with one another, trying to put together a compelling sports talk program maybe isn't getting as many viewers or watches as Monday Night Football was, but it doesn't mean it's any less impactful.
What makes me smile is kind of, I always say you look back and you see kind of the path that God has orchestrated in your life, and you played 10 years in the NFL and you played at Ohio State and won a national title and all these cool things. But even just the way you and I connected, I think it was right around the same time that I was thinking about leaving ESPN is when I met you at the broadcast boot camp, which you were just a couple years out of the league at that point. And the NFL has this broadcast boot camp every year. And it was in Mount Laurel, right? It was at NFL Films in New Jersey. And I'm seeing you and meeting you. And I think we did it a second year too. You might've come back for the advance camp. Does that sound right? Mm-hmm. But at that place, you and I meet, we get to talk about Jesus and talk about football and talk about broadcasting, but the SiriusXM guys are there and they're part of this boot camp. And now here you are 6, 7, 8 years later, however long ago it was, working for them and calling games and you know, with ESPN radio that you did for a few years, but you're also covering college football and being paid to be a broadcaster. Like, it's cool to watch God kind of take you through this path of even just how we met, but and where we are talking today, and kind of orchestrating your steps in a way that maybe you didn't quite see coming. But I think back to
guys
that
like
moment,
me,
right?
the guys like you and I, Jason, and I'm sure lots of our listeners that know that God is moving despite our understanding. You're hearing you tell that story reminds me of I was just watching that documentary on the quarterback that Netflix with Mahomes and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And
it's fantastic.
It's fantastic to watch. And for a guy like me that I got to play with Peyton Manning a couple years, to see those guys that are the Patrick Mahomes of the world, the Peyton Mannings of the world. Yes. Their talent is they are one in 300 million Americans, right? Like it's, I think there's a lot of kids that say, yeah, I'll just go be Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Oh, okay. There's only one of those guys every couple of generations. But despite all of their success, and this isn't to diminish what they've done and the effort for what the magic that they are, how many dozens or tens of dozens or hundreds of fork in the road moments had to go right for Patrick Mahomes to get to where he is today?
Exactly. Yes.
And to the school that he went to, the family he was born into, the circumstances that get him to the Kansas City Chiefs when Andy Reid is there and sit behind Alex Smith. And so not be thrust into starting in the NFL that quickly. And so to so many factors outside of our control that God is quietly there pulling those strings and predestining those that I always love looking back at the hindsight of like what you said, when we meet 6, 8 years ago, I'm just trying to break into a world that's as challenging, if not more so challenging to break into in sports broadcasting than there is in the NFL. At least there's 1500 NFL players. I don't think there's 1500 people at the major sports broadcast networks across this country. No. But yet again, God had a plan for me. And it wasn't, like you said, it was a couple years out of the game before I found my spot. And you never know which contacts at a broadcast program of the most insignificant interaction. Maybe is that little remember thing that an executive or boss say, oh, I remember that interaction with that person. And that's where that's one of those fork in the road moments that maybe I'll never get to learn about.
That's good. Not what made me laugh when you said that you played 2 years for Peyton Manning. My mind went to, I think he also played with Tom Brady, but it was more like 2 days. How many days were you with the Patriots?
Yeah, 4 days.
Four days. Can you count that though? Like if you're ever speaking to a team, you're like, I played with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Well, we're doing this in my Zoom in my office. I've got my jerseys flanked and I was on a bunch of teams. I had the journeyman NFL career. I had this debate on one of my shows of, should I put a Patriots jersey up if I was only there for 4 days? I never even played in a preseason
I was going to say,
game.
did you even get a jersey, like a real
No,
jersey?
it was a practice jersey. And that's kind of where we landed, that if I wanted to frame my practice jersey, that would be acceptable. But I did sign a contract that was, signed and official and all of that, but I never made it to the game field in Gillette as a Patriot. So I don't have that jersey framed. I have a slot for it, but I probably won't do that.
Did you catch a pass in those 4 days from Brady, though?
I did, but the story though that was kind of the symbolism of the end is I was a 34-year-old player at the time, well past my prime, and I was always a blocking tight end. This is my stat that makes me famous is I had a ES when I worked for ESPN, I asked stats and info. I said, "Hey, can you find some stat that only I have?" And they said, "Okay." So
There's
they
a lot of
looked
digging,
into it.
right? A lot of digging.
What they had to go way deep. That's right. But there's a whole army of people at ESPN that do this.
That's
And
right.
it was Brad Evans, who
Sure.
used to work at ESPN. You remember Brad?
Yeah.
He said that there's never been a player in this century since 2000 that has played as long as you have at tight end and score so few touchdowns.
How many touchdowns
So,
in your career?
just one. 10 years
One.
of the NFL, I scored one touchdown. It's sitting here on a shelf on my office right now.
Oh
So
my gosh.
I was always a blocking tight end. So, but when I go to the Patriots, that training camp, I'm basically just keeping the spot warm for Gronkowski. He was nursing an injury, and so I knew that I was just a body.
Yeah.
But I said, "Well, I'm a 34-year-old. I hadn't been on a team." I was trying to basically signal to the rest of the NFL, "Hey, I'm still out here if you want to have me." But I never made it to a game. But I was running Rob Gronkowski routes. I'm out split out at wide receiver, and I haven't done that since high school.
Right.
But you're in that circumstance, and so I line. You're self-talking yourself. I'm like, I'm lining up at the slot receiver, and I'm saying, "Okay, I'm going to run this route. I'm going to catch this pass. I'm going to score a touchdown. I'm going to make this team. It's going to be great." Well, I run the route. I get to the top of my stem, and I turn around, and I'm standing directly next to Julian Edelman. Which anybody that knows football, if you're standing directly next to somebody else, you're in the wrong spot. I ran the wrong route, and so Tom Brady, and he could have just looked the other way and kept the play alive, but he wanted to make sure to signal. He throws the ball into the ground, mad, frustrated. He cusses at me. Daggone it, Brian! And I was like, "Hi, I'm Ben. It's nice to see you." But it wasn't too long after that practice that I was shown the door.
You know, if you're going to go out in a blaze of glory, right, Ben?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. That was a ton of a tremendous experience, and it's kind of funny of again the, how God weaves these things together. That we all want as players to have that one team Hall of Fame career at one place, Pro Bowler, starter, all those Super Bowls, all those. But for me, that 4 days in New England was hugely impactful and helpful for me as a broadcaster. Me having played at five different teams as opposed to one gives me five times more experience to know what is it like to play in Indianapolis? What is the scene like in Nashville? What is it like to play for Rex Ryan versus Tony Dungy, right? Like you get these life experiences that in the time I was kind of like, well, daggone it. I'm just a journeyman. I'm just a guy that's just filling a cog in a wheel. But now as a broadcaster, it's multiple times a week, if not multiple times a show,
Yeah.
that I can draw upon that experience to make me a better communicator to share my football experiences with our listeners.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you get 4 days with Bill Belichick. So, you got that under on your resume as well, Ben Hartsock. Let's close here with just a little football. As people listen to this, there's already a few games that have been played and, teams have started out their season, but it's still early enough, I think, where we can look at the season in general. We're talking about college football here and kind of just get a couple little preview nuggets that maybe we can look back on in November, December with Ben and his little prediction world that he goes into. So let's start with and again, we're not doing a ton of previews here. We don't do previews too often, but you'll be watching it and covering college football this year just from a fan perspective. We're going to talk about specific team and then specific player in a second, but just your excitement level, knowing that there's sort of this ominous cloud that we've had to deal with in the off season. Once the games start, kicking off, I think we've seen it already, a few games underway that we're like, all right, it's still football. What are you
Yes.
most excited about with regards to this upcoming college football season?
Yeah, I think it's a good point you make, Jason, that no matter what is happening outside of the scope of college athletics, Saturdays are going to be incredible. These stadiums are going to be full of passionate fans and marching bands and teams that we love. And so despite the struggles, the games will be great. And so what am I most looking for? I am going to savor this season as the last of the college sports that we knew. The Pac-12 is on life support. There's four teams left. And so a bunch of those teams are going to the Big Ten and a couple and a few to the Big 12 as well. So the Pac-12 is going to have great football this year, you know, with Caleb Williams, the Heisman Trophy winner at USC, and Bo Nix at Oregon and Michael Penix at Washington. So there's going to be great football played in the Pac-12. And then in the Big Ten and the SEC, they're the two. I'm calling them the Super Two. It's not just it's not the big Power Five anymore. It's the Super Two. Yeah. And so the Big Ten and SEC are deep. Georgia is just, they're as talented as they've ever been, and they have a buttery, smooth, creamy, soft schedule to work through. And so I say that with full frustration that they could very well be the first team to three-peat in decades, if not centuries. Actually, it was Minnesota. Minnesota won three consecutive national championships back in the 30s. So we're not quite to 100 years ago, but tons of great, exciting things to watch for. New quarterbacks, new quarterback at Ohio State, new quarterback at Georgia, new quarterback at Alabama. That's always a little a little nervous, tenuous for fans of those schools to watch that handoff. But I'll tell you, in today's college football, I'm so impressed at how true freshmen, first-year starters step into these white-hot lights of these iconic college arenas and deliver the goods. It truly is amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch more games, as a few are already underway, but I can't wait to keep watching. It's going to be great as we see these matchups take place. All right, two easy ones for you. I hope they're easy. Who's the one team and the one player that we should be paying attention to that a lot of people are not talking about? So start with team first. Who's the team that a lot of people aren't talking about right now, but we should be paying attention to them as the season rolls along?
Yeah, Penn State is a team that it's a relative, buzzworthy. They've had a buzzworthy offseason because they won the Rose Bowl and beat a very tough-to-beat Utah program in the Rose Bowl a season ago. But for Penn State, they have recruited at a high level and put a bunch of guys into the NFL, but they have a new quarterback in Drew Allar, who's a five-star. He was a guy that was overlooked by Ohio State, so he's playing with a little chip on his shoulder. He's a young player that came from Ohio, Cincinnati area that Ohio State didn't offer. He goes to Penn State, and it's now his team to run. And so the hope is that five-star pedigree steps in and can really unlock this team that has been stuck in the Big Ten East that has to battle Michigan and Ohio State every year. They may not win all of those games, but if they knock off an Ohio State or a Michigan, that has national championship implications every step of the way. So Penn State is a team that I'm excited for. They've got first rounders, Kalen King on the defensive side of the ball. Olu Fashanu is a left tackle, one of the most beautiful athletes you've ever seen in history. Could have been a top five pick a year ago that is staying for his last season, if only just to graduate, which just pulls right at my heartstrings. He didn't chase the money, stayed to finish what he started. So I really like Penn State.
Okay, the Nittany Lions. So we got Penn State as the team. How about the player that a lot of people are not talking about that maybe by the end of this year we'll be like, remember when Ben mentioned that guy on Sports Spectrum? Yeah. We should be paying attention to him.
Yeah, Jeff Sims, a quarterback that transferred out of Georgia Tech to go play for the Cornhuskers in Lincoln, Nebraska. Nebraska's got a new head coach in Matt Rhule, one of the splashiest hires in college football from a year ago. And Nebraska football has been irrelevant in the national scene for a long time. They haven't been to a bowl game in 6 or 7 years now, 5 or 6 years. But that is a fan base that is just pining, desiring, craving relevance so badly. Remember, it was Jahmyr Gibbs was at Georgia Tech 2 years ago, goes to Alabama and breaks out, has an NFL caliber year. Jeff Sims leaves Georgia Tech this season, goes up to Nebraska, and I think he's got real potential that he could be a player of the year candidate.
And get Nebraska in a bowl. Like, come on. Nebraska should be in a bowl every year when you think about what we grew up with and knowing the legends that are around that team, especially in the mid-90s when they were winning a title here and there with Tommy Frazier. Like, that team should be getting to bowl games every year.
Yeah, they're a team that it's we say it about a lot of programs that college football's better when Texas is good, Tennessee is good, and Nebraska absolutely deserves to be in that equation as well. And they're passionate fan bases that crave it, and it feels like this might be right on the cusp for all of those teams. That we saw Tennessee have a moment in the sun last year, taking care of Alabama and what it did. Texas has a huge amount of talent this year. If not now, when for Texas to rise up on the national spectrum. But Nebraska, I don't think they're going to compete in the Big Ten, but they have a lightning rod quarterback there that I'm excited to watch play.
But you only got to go 6-5 to make a bowl, or even six
Yeah.
and six in some cases. That's why I'm like, how do you not make a bowl in 6 years when you just basically got to be 500 to get to a bowl? So I don't know. I hope they get there.
It's hard for Nebraska because they had the prodigal son in Scott Frost, and he was going to right all the wrongs, and it was just I don't want to besmirch Scott Frost, but Matt Rhule certainly seems to be resonating in a way that I think Cornhusker fans hope they would with Scott Frost. So optimistic about Nebraska this year.
For sure. All right. Are the Buckeyes going to beat the Wolverines this year in November? It's at the Horseshoe this year because you guys alternate every year, right?
No, it's actually the video you watched was 2 years ago. Remember, Ohio State's lost two in a row to
Ugh.
Ohio to Michigan, so that hurts. This game
So
is
it's
actually going to be played
at the big
in
house.
Ann Arbor at the Big House.
Oof.
I believe that Ohio State has the most talented roster, second only to Georgia nationally. But right now, coming off of Big Ten Media Days just a couple weeks ago, Michigan is playing like a player unlocked. They've broken through that mental barrier of being little brother to Ohio State, and so they walked with their chest out and their shoulders back. And so that's really key, is does Ohio State's talent finally get itself back on firm footing, or does Michigan continue to have the mental edge? And the hard thing is, as I do believe, I believe that Ohio State gets the win this year, and it's because I can't wrap my head around the what would happen to Ryan Day if he lost 3 straight years to Michigan. And this is Ryan Day, who's only lost 4 or 5 games in his entire career at Ohio State, has been to the playoff more times than not. But folks outside of Columbus and the state of Ohio, it's hard to comprehend. My coach, when I was at Ohio State, my first coach, John Cooper, won Rose Bowls, won a bunch of football games, put a bunch of guys into the NFL, but it was his record versus Michigan was 2-10. And so it doesn't matter how much other stuff goes right, you have to win that game versus that team up north. And so I think they'll get it right this year.
That's so fascinating for somebody that is not in that rivalry and just it's kind of an innocent bystander watching games, that if Ohio State or Michigan don't win the national title, let's just say either of them don't win, which happened last year, it doesn't it, obviously if you win the national title, that's all that matters. But if the next level is, I don't care if you made the playoff, did you beat Ohio State? Did you beat Michigan? That's right there, like 1B to 1A in many cases with that rivalry, isn't it?
Well, so it's the emotional swings a year ago, because I've said it the same thing just in the inverse way, Jason, that if Ohio State doesn't miss that field goal in the Peach Bowl and beats Georgia, Ohio State wins the national championship.
Agree.
And so winning a national championship but losing to Michigan is so hard to reconcile for Buckeye fans that I've said this on my talk shows, that it would be a national championship with an asterisk. It would still be, the people 100 years from now would say, yeah, remember that 2022 team? Ugh, didn't get Michigan though. Won the Natty, but didn't get Michigan. And so that's the margin of error for Ohio State fans. It is unrealistic expectations, and not for just Ohio State, but when you're talking about Georgia and Alabama and Clemson and these tip of the spear college football programs, the expectations are unreasonable. But that's kind of why college football is such a beautiful mess, is we don't want to be reasonable. We want to win.
Right. And that's why when you see a team come out of nowhere to make a college football playoff, and you're like, it's like, no, you root for that, but you're still, the expectations are, well, Clemson would have given a better game there, or this team would have been better. And TCU ends up going to the title game. So you just never know, I guess.
Yeah, it's it college sports is a beautiful mess, and that mess is part of what makes it incredible is the arguing with each other. Remember, Jason, when you and I were younger, the BCS was supposed to fix all the problems of taking the human element out of it. Just let the computer tell us which two teams need to play each other. Oh, yeah. And then we did that a couple years ago. So we can't not let people be a part of this. Computers are, we can't. So the arguing is what's beautiful. And the arguing and the mix of, you've got a program like Texas that's got $250 million revenue playing and losing to places like Kansas State and TCU that are fractions of what the resources that Texas has. And so trying to make sense of all of that. Actually, this week on my show, I'm having a tenured professor from the University of from Clemson on corporate finance to help point out how complicated all of it. Wow. Not just the games are the easy thing because they're 60 minutes. They're between, 53 and a third wide, 100 yards long. But when you talk about all the changes outside of it and trying to unravel what's happening in the ACC or the Pac-12 or the Big Ten of all of it, it has tenured corporate finance professors at the college level head spin. And ultimately, that's why it's beautiful. I love it. You would never sit down and create something that looks like college football today. But over the course of 150 some years, we have this beautiful mess. And I get to talk about it every day. That's why I love my job.
All right. And this is why I love that you kind of set me up for this last question, because the beautiful mess of college football actually is a nice parallel to the beautiful mess that is all of us as humans in the eyes of who the Lord is. So this beautiful mess of a life that you've been living right now, Ben Hartsock, my last question to you is, what are you most thankful to the Lord for in the beautiful mess that we're all living through, but the mess that you've lived through, in your life? What are you most thankful to him for right now?
Yeah, I'm in my mid-40s now, and every day I get, I become more thankful for every chapter I've had in history. When I talk to college athletes, I try to implore upon them to take as many mental snapshots of these experiences as you can, because it is a magic 4 years of college. And I love my little chapter of history. I always break things into mental snapshots and chapters. And so my college football chapter was spectacular. National championship and an Ohio kid getting to play for the team that he loved growing up. And then my NFL experience was murky and muddy. Five teams cut every couple of years. The anxiety of, am I going to make the roster this year? Is my locker still going to have my name above it? And I'm not going to sit here and say that I savored it as well as I should have in the moment, but I certainly look back now and see, that was God's providence right there to put me in touch with that player. To have the experience to be led by Tony Dungy, one of the most impactful coaches of my life, Jim Tressel at Ohio State, such an impactful presence in my life. And now outside of the game, a couple of times now that I'm outside of the game, I've had former teammates share with me of an impact that I made on them. Wow. Not in, hey, let me sit down and let's go through James together. It was sometimes just the simple of you were the real deal when others weren't. And I hope none of us, and strike me down if I ever do things for those blessings, but I'm so thankful that I've had the opportunity to get some of that feedback of you're marching the right way. You're doing the right thing, because it was Romans 12:1 when I was a rookie at the Indianapolis Colts that the team chaplain that become my life verse, that whatever we do, I urge you in view of God's mercies to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord, that this is worship. And that was so transformative for me, that simple verse of offering myself every day as a living sacrifice. It doesn't have to be, doing communion in the locker room every day, but lifting weights and practicing or prepping for a show on Sirius XM or making a YouTube vlog. If my heart and my desires are only to do this to glorify and honor God, that is true worship. And that's not to say it's easy or high or low, and there's ebbs and flows to all of it, but certainly I know each and every day that God is in it, and I'm just thankful to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. It's an audience of one. It comes down to that. I mean, it's a cliche used a lot by a lot of people, but ultimately, who are we playing for in this life? Are we playing for the world, or are we playing for God? And that's it. So it's good to know you're playing for the Lord, Ben Hartsock, and always great to see you. Great to talk to you, and welcome back to Sports Spectrum, my friend. We're so glad you came back here, and love this conversation. Thanks for joining us.
I'm not going back down to Brock Heward in the JV, though. I'm only first team Larry when it comes to Sports Spectrum.
First
now.
Team.
I want Romano.
Romano, you got it, Ben Hartsock. We'll have to do this again. Maybe we'll do it during college football playoff time or during the Super Bowl and kind of look back a little bit on both your experiences in the NFL, but even more the college football predictions that you made here. So that'll be a lot of fun. Either way, thanks again, buddy. Good to see you.
I love it. Yep. Always appreciate it. Thankful for your work, Jason. Really do.
And that was a lot of fun talking to my friend Ben Hartsock here on Sports Spectrum. I remember meeting him when I was still at ESPN, and he was just cutting his teeth, trying to figure out this whole broadcasting thing. I think it was 2015 or 16 when I met Ben. And now to see him doing his thing with Sirius XM, covering college football. You can hear him on college sports radio on Sirius XM channel 84. And you can hear him on the Big Ten radio channel 372 on Sirius XM. Ben Hartsock, great guy. Some great stories in there, right? Like 4 days with the Patriots, and that turns into one of these great teaching lessons on life for him to be able to share about the differences and how coaches go about their business. And I mean, he did catch one pass, or at least had a pass thrown to him from Tom Brady, and he caught a lot of passes from Peyton Manning and played for guys like Rex Ryan and in AFC Championship games. So it was good stuff here talking to Ben Hartsock. And all right, remember his predictions as well. He talked about Penn State as the team to watch this year. He talked about Jeff Sims from Nebraska as a player to keep an eye on this year. I love that college football is back. Oh, I love it. I love that football is back in general, the NFL in a few days as well. This is a great time of year for sports, and I'm glad that we get to partake in a little bit of that with Sports Spectrum. Of course, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation is our goal. It's our desire for every conversation. So we love you guys. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Again, make sure you tell your friends about this podcast. Maybe subscribe or follow this podcast on whatever app you're listening to. Let people know about our conversation today with Ben, about the fact that we even exist, Sports Spectrum as a media ministry. And then please do join us next time for another conversation here on Sports Spectrum. I hope you all have a great rest of your day.